This is Judy returning with the Decatur Herald and Review for September 16th, 2016. And we'll continue now with the obituaries. The first obituary is from Taylorville. Thomas N. Bollinger, 74 of Taylorville, passed away at 5:05 a.m. on Wednesday, September 14, 2016, at St. John's Hospital in Springfield. He was born November 25, 1941, in Taylorville, the son of Albert L. Jack and Helen E. Young Bollinger. He married Wilma Jean Beanie Buzan on February 26, 1962, in Holy Trinity Catholic Church in Stonington, and she preceded him in death on December 12, 2006. Mr. Bollinger was a lifelong farmer in the Stonington area. He enjoyed watching his sons compete in tractor pulls and was a member of the Illinois Tractor Pulling Association. Funeral services will be held at 12 o'clock p.m. on Saturday, September 17, 2016, at Holy Trinity Catholic Church in Stonington with Monsignor David Lands officiating. Burial will be in Old Stonington Cemetery. Visitation will be held from 9:30 a.m. until the service at noon on Saturday in the church. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to St. John's Hospice, 800 East Carpenter Street, Springfield, Illinois, or Challenge Aspen. Challenge Aspen is dedicated to impacting lives by presenting meaningful experiences to individuals faced with cognitive or physical challenges. P.O. Box 6639, Snowmass, Colorado. McClure Funeral Home and Cremation Services is handling arrangements. Memories of Tom or condolences to his family may be sent online to the McClureFuneralHome.com. David Thomas Collins, Decatur. David Thomas Collins, 84, died on Wednesday, September 14, 2016, at Angels Grace Hospice in Wisconsin. He was born September 13, 1932, in Decatur, Illinois. He is preceded in death by his parents, Wesley and Agnes, and his son, Michael David. He is survived by his daughters, Kristen Marie, Christopher, Lisa Ann, Auntie, and the granddaughter, Taylor Marie. Special thanks to the caring staff at Angels Grace Hospice. Rest in peace, Dad. Goebel, Flossie Geneva. Flossie Geneva in Newton of Newton, Illinois, passed away at 8:35 p.m. Monday, September 12, 2016 at Newton Care Center in Newton, Illinois. Funeral services celebrating Flossie's life will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, September 17, 2016 at the Meyer Funeral Home in Newton, Illinois, with Pastor Michael Seidenstrichter officiating. Burial will be in the Riverside Cemetery in Newton, Illinois. Visitation will be held 1 hour before the service at the funeral home. Orvaline R. Kite, Decatur. Orvaline R. Kite, 89 of Decatur, passed away 7:57 p.m. Wednesday, September 14, 2016 at Symphony of Decatur. Graveside services will be held 10 a.m. Monday, September 19, 2016 at Norfolk Cemetery, Decatur, Illinois. Britlinger and Earl Funeral Home, Decatur, is handling the arrangements. Orvaline was born December 29, 1926 in Decatur, Illinois, the daughter of Orville and Theodosia Yates. She married William Monroe Thompson, and he preceded her in death. Joanne Moody, Clinton. Joanne Moody, 87, of Clinton, Illinois, formerly of Weldon, Illinois, passed away 5 o'clock a.m. September 14, 2016, at Manor Court, Clinton, Illinois. Funeral services will be 11 a.m. Monday, September 19, 2016, at the Weldon United Methodist Church, Weldon, Illinois, with Reverend C. Don Farrell officiating. Burial will follow at Weldon Cemetery, Illinois. Visitation will be 10 to 11 a.m. Monday at the church. Calvert Funeral Home, Clinton, Illinois, is in charge of arrangements. Memorials may be directed to St. Jude Children's Hospital or to the Mission Fund at the Weldon United Methodist Church. Mary Alice Nunnery, Clinton. Mary Alice Nunnery, 88, of Clinton, Illinois, passed away at 12:55 p.m. September 14, 2016, at Manor Court, Clinton, Illinois. Funeral services will be 10 a.m. Monday, September 19, 2016, at the Clinton Church of the Nazarene, with Reverend Mike Taylor officiating. Burial will follow at Memorial Park Cemetery, Clinton, Illinois. Visitation will be 3 to 5 p.m. Sunday, September 18, 2016, at Calvert Funeral Home, Clinton, Illinois. Memorials may be directed to the Clinton Church of the Nazarene. Marjorie Wohlrab, Decatur. Marjorie Wohlrab, 89, of Decatur, died peacefully September 13, 2016, in Boise, Idaho. She was an elder of First Presbyterian Church, active in community volunteer groups, and a graduate of Illinois Wesleyan and Sangamon State Universities. Surviving are her sons. We will continue with the article, Judge Leeds Discussion About Meaning of U.S. Constitution. Decatur. Judge Thomas Harris, Jr. sees the U.S. Constitution as a document that has withstood the test of time. While the wording of the Constitution has remained the same, it was ratified in 1792, Harris said Thursday during a presentation at Richland Community College, that hasn't stopped discussion about its meaning. It's the interpretation that has changed, said Harris, who was speaking during Richland's annual Constitution Day recognition, which was held early this year, because the actual day falls on Saturday. Prior to serving as a 4th District Appellate Court judge, Harris previously has worked as a lawyer and a judge in Logan County. The Fourth Amendment, as it relates to search and seizure, has been of particular concern, Harris said. He has 5,000 cases in Illinois have dealt with the Fourth Amendment over the years. That amendment has been questioned as to its ability to ensure the safety of citizens while protecting their privacy rights, Harris said. Those two are constantly competing against one another, Harris said. The presentation was a chance for students to consider a topic of widespread importance, said Jason Brooks, vice president of Richland's Student Government Association. We hope they take advantage of these opportunities, Brooks said. It gives us an understanding of an interpretation of the Constitution. The Constitution can seem like a distant topic, said Alex Berry, Richland's coordinator of student engagement. The Fourth Amendment is something that is on a lot of college students' minds, Berry said. It's something everybody should consider. The Constitution can be difficult to interpret, which Harris said leads to so much discussion. We don't really think about it enough, Harris said. It's such a broad document. Harris said as a judge, he must find probable causes exist before approving a search warrant. He said exceptions are allowed, such as if somebody provides consent for the search. The search of a motor vehicle happens after a violation of a traffic law or in extenuating circumstances. Harris gave the example of a motorist pulled over in what amounted to a legal search by Decatur police following a traffic violation when a trunk full of cocaine was found upon searching the vehicle. Search warrants aren't always obtained, Harris said. That's not always illegal. Harris said courts have struggled for years in deciding when Fourth Amendment protections apply or not. He said it's becoming increasingly difficult as technology has advanced and more digital information is available. Continuing with Decatur police visit schools to read, share time with kids. Decatur. The adventures of Henry and Midge took a new turn on Wednesday as Decatur police patrolman Larry Brooks read with students at South Shore School. As part of a cooperative initiative between the Decatur School District and the Decatur Police Department, officers visit the school twice weekly to read to and with children. They ask for volunteers and said, "I'll do it," Brooks said. "I did it at the Boys and Girls Club over the summer, and it was a great time, something I wanted to experience here as well. The idea is to humanize the officers so kids will see that they're regular folks with families just doing a job," Brooks said, "rather than to encounter a police officer when something bad has happened. I introduced myself and told them I read with my son, so they're, 'Oh, he's a dad,' just trying to relate to them," Brooks said. Teacher Lisa Landacre has a reading group every day, a mixture of students in grades 1 through 3, and it's a good time to help individual children with specific reading challenges. One hope is that having a police officer read with them could make them more enthusiastic about reading. "The more they read, the better reader they become," she said. "This is just giving them an opportunity to interact with a police officer on a positive basis." The volunteer readers are helping with the district's Literacy for All initiative proposed by Chief Instructional Officer Ed Moyer in January. When the district's state test scores were disappointing, even though the Illinois State Board of Education had warned schools that the first year's results would be low due to the change to Common Core and a new and different format of testing, Moyer suggested to the school board that a new emphasis on reading in every subject would help. Decatur's reading results were 21% below the state average, and 70% to 75% of students are not reading at grade level. "If you struggle to read in an appropriate level of complexity, it has an impact on everything else," Moyer said to the board in January. Literacy for All encourages teachers, no matter the subject or grade level, to incorporate literacy and reading into every lesson. While it's not a formal program with steps to follow, Moyer said all teachers are reading teachers, and making reading an integral part of every portion of the day, school day, will improve reading skills for ease and fluency, which will also improve student achievement overall. Continuing with government and politics with the article, Republican Senators Move Up Leadership Ladder. Springfield. Three downstate Republican senators are moving up in their party's leadership ranks following State Senator Matt Murphy's resignation. The Palatine Republican's departure from his position as a deputy minority leader led to the promotion of State Senator Dave Luchenfield of Akawaville, who will fill the post until he retires in January at the end of his current term. Taking Luchfield's spot as one of four assistant minority leaders will be State Senator Chapin Rose of Mahomet, who moves up from the position of minority whip. That makes room for Senator Jason Berickman of Bloomington to take Rose's former post. The Illinois Senate Republicans announced the changes Thursday, the day Murphy's resignation became effective. He departed for a job with a lobbying firm. Dave is a tireless fighter for the needs of Southern Illinois while also demonstrating his leadership skills and ability to see the state as a whole, Senate Minority Leader Christine Radogno of Lament said. Luchtfeld expressed gratitude for the appointment. As Illinois continues to face many difficult challenges in the months ahead, I am hopeful that I can contribute in a new way in meeting those challenges, he said. Luchtfeld won't earn the $20,649 stipend normally associated with the position, according to an announcement from Radogno's office. A statement from Rose's office said he plans to use his new position to continue being a voice for Republicans in budget negotiations. He was part of a bipartisan group of lawmakers that negotiated a stopgap budget that Governor Bruce Rauner signed into law June 30th. Rose noted that Murphy was also a key participant in those discussions. Turning to national news, family, $1 million settlement for police killing teen. Virginia Beach, Virginia. The family of a black teenager who was shot and killed by a white police officer last year said Friday that the city of Portsmouth, Virginia, has agreed to pay a $1 million settlement. Family spokesman Earl Lewis Jr. told the Associated Press that the teen's mother has verbally agreed to the figure but believes her son's life was worth far more. What we wanted was $2.5 million, Lewis said. It's not okay with us. His life is definitely worth more than that, but at the same time, that's what the city offered. William Chapman II was shot outside a Walmart by former Portsmouth Police Officer Stephen Rankin Chapman, 18, was suspected of shoplifting when a struggle ensued between the two men. Rankin later lost his job. A jury convicted him last month of voluntary manslaughter before recommending a 2.5-year prison sentence. A $1 million settlement falls far below some other recent settlements for police-involved shootings. For instance, the family of Laquan McDonald got $5 million from the city of Chicago after video captured officers shooting him 16 times in 2014. Baltimore paid out $6.4 million to relatives of Freddie Gray after he was critically injured in a police van and later died from his injuries. The village of Pleasantville in suburban New York agreed to a $6 million settlement in March after an officer shot and killed college football player Danroy Henry in a moving car. The attorney for the Chapman family, John Babineau, said he filed a notice of intent to sue the city of Portsmouth, which is required within 6 months of the death. But he said Friday that no official lawsuit was filed against the city. However, he said he and city officials had been in discussions about a settlement, although he declined to comment further. Solomon Ashby, Jr., an attorney for the city of Portsmouth, declined to comment on any pending or potential litigation. Rankin's attorneys have said they intend to appeal his conviction after his official sentencing, which is scheduled for October. Now from the entertainment section, Arts in Central Park returns to downtown. Decatur. Even 54 years later, the Decatur Arts Council annual showcase even attracts artists from all over the country. Approximately 80 artists will display their works at the Arts in Central Park September 16th through the 18th in Central Park in downtown Decatur. There is no admission charge. Visitors are invited to shop early during the VIP preview party from 5 to 7 Friday, September 16th. The event is open to the public. The VIP patrons will be treated to drinks, food, and live music. It's a special thank you to those downtown, said Stella Carnahan, administrative director for the Decatur Area Arts Council. According to Carnahan, the special night is also designed to reassure the artists they will have buyers as well as lookers. You have to promise to buy something from the artists over the weekend, she said. Artwork will include photography, jewelry, sculptures, glass creations, paintings, and more. Children's activities will also be available for families. In the past, Just for Kids at Haynes and Essex provided the family fun. The store closed in April. The Arts Council keeps the tradition with a downtown store alive by inviting Giggles on Merchant to provide the kids' activities. Giggles owner Chrissy Spurlock kept some of the traditions. In the past, they've had the plant painting van, she said. We've kept the van. Children will have the opportunity to create three projects during the weekend: wind kites, spiders, and caterpillars. They will also be allowed to create their own chalk art on the park's sidewalks. Caricature and face paintings have been provided by the Arts Council. Kids Art Shop will be available for children ages 12 and under in the Madden Arts Center. The art store allows children the opportunity to purchase artwork similar to the pieces found in the park. Items specially selected by the event's artists will be available for $3, $4, and $5. Continuing in arts and theater, Milliken Production, Cock, addresses relationships, not chickens. Decatur. The battle between an old love and a new one can be volatile, especially when one is a man and the other is a woman. The outcome can almost be described as a cockfight, which is the idea behind playwright Mike Bartlett's 2013 play Cock. The comedy play Cock will be performed by Milliken University students September 16th through October 7th at Pipe Dream Studio Theater. Tickets are $12. The play follows John as he struggles between an old boyfriend and a new girlfriend. After admitting to himself and the world he is gay, he unexpectedly finds love in a woman after a breakup with his boyfriend. The play finds humor in the sarcasm and battles between all of the characters, including the boyfriend's father. It's a very dry humor, very British, director John Farina said. The funniest is in the seriousness. Ben Viette plays John. The play studies the decision he is supposed to make. The problem is he is starting in the wrong place, Viette said. He is asking man or woman, and not who do you like, what are you like, or what do you they do. The main character feels his struggles are made more difficult because he has already come out as gay. Now I can't go back, Viette said. We set ourselves up these boxes. The moment we want to get out, we get put back in. It's an identity crisis, said Daniel Roche, who plays the character of the boyfriend, or M, which stands for man. The characters' names are represented by letters M for man, W for woman, and F for father. The names try to come out in the show, but they never really do, Roche says. The author symbolically uses letters in place of names. Instead of small details, the focus of the play is the struggle in John's life. The simplicity in the play's aesthetics reaches on to the stage as well. For the artistic integrity of the show, we can't use props, Farina said. The girlfriend, played by Rachel Head, brings her own worries. She just ended her marriage, then stumbles across the lost, broken, and confused man. She finds feelings and sees a future with this mess, Head said. Should she fight for this man that may or may not choose her? The banter between each group of characters creates the relationships. We really don't like each other, Head said. It is this sarcasm that also tears the relationships apart. John kind of feels like he's trapped in a cage. He finally breaks out and speaks up for himself, Farina says. The ending is very intense. It's about a decision, Roche said. It's who you are as a person, not what you like. The show is rated R with strong language and adult scenes. We will continue with the article Decatur Public Library. Decatur. An image that invokes fire and knowledge is one way for the Decatur Public Library to build its brand, and by the end of the year the public will be able to see it in a new logo. The simple design draws parallels to an open book and a torch and was enthusiastically supported Thursday evening by the Decatur Public Library Board. Decatur's DCC Marketing created the logo as part of a $2,000 agreement to design several logos. The firm created 10 logos and 3 were presented to the board. Pam Morrow of DCC said the logo was inspired by the Greek mythology of Prometheus, who stole fire from Mount Olympus and brought it to man. But instead of the gift of fire, the Decatur Public Library would bring the gift of knowledge. It invokes that classic sort of image of the fire flame with academics, Morrow said. The only change to the logo that the board requested was to text under the logo, which read, Knowledge, Creativity, Inspiration. Board member Mark Sorensen suggested it be changed to Past, Present, Future, which drew praise from the board. City librarian Rick Meyer said the library has lacked a distinctive brand that could appeal to teenagers and young, single adults who do not use the library as often as other demographics. We wanted something that was recognizable and one that we could use to market to people who don't generally use our facility, he said. The new logo could begin to be rolled out within the coming weeks. It will be added to the website and to the official business cards and documents. In other businesses, the board approved the library investigating equipment that would add a significant technological upgrade to how books are checked out, checked in, and sorted. Among the updates would be a radio frequency tag in every rented material that would instantly update the system whenever they were checked in. It would also allow staff to better organize shelves sending a signal that is out of order. Similar systems are in place at libraries like Champaign and Mahomet. That's a neat project that brings us into the 21st century, Meyer said. It helps us keep control of our inventory and really serve our patrons better. The next several months will see further negotiation before they send out a request for proposal. The quoted price for the upgrade is $365,000 with $200,000 covered by the Decatur Public Library Foundation. The rest would be covered by the library's contingency fund, with the idea the foundation will pay them back after a capital campaign. This has been Judy with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated September 16, 2016, and I look forward to reading with you again very soon.